Great to have you with us this morning. Preliminary final week. It is a conversation starter for Kia's seven-day sale extended to this weekend. Receive a $777 bonus across the range. Chris Fagan is going to join us. Nick Riewoldt has joined us in the chair. Welcome, Rui.
Morning, boys.
Good to see you, my friend.
Yeah, you too, mate. Good to see you. Good to see you, Timmy. Good to see you. You look bright and bushy. What are you, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning? Yeah, you look like you've been up for a while.
I have been up for a while. Got woken up by a coughing child. And once I wake up on Monday morning early, I can't go back to sleep because I know the NFL's on and I can't help myself. So I always just roll over and grab the phone and check the scores. And once I check the scores and that blue light hits my eyes, I'm gone.
That's a trap.
What you going to say, you know, on a Monday morning, you're that excited to come in here.
Oh, that goes without saying, Gary.
You can't go back to sleep again. Just quickly, I want to update people. I don't know if you heard this on the drive-in. Mitchum and Ringwood was a thriller, and it went down to a score that was either touch on the line or not. This is from Cameron, who says, I was at that game. The ball was over the line, but it was touch first, Wisp. That's new information.
So touched
off the boot.
Off the boot.
The umpires gave it a no score, which is the only thing he got wrong. He should have said
touched.
Hopefully. I'm not suspecting that that's going to appease everyone. I think whoever's on the wrong end of it's going to come for us. But anyway, Rui's here for Buy My Stock. Got excess stock. Visit buymystock.com.au. Where are we starting? Friday night?
Yeah, let's go back to the start. I mean, it was we were warned, weren't we, about writing off the losers from the first week. And West Coast were so convincing, but it was hard to read too much into it given the opposition. And Geelong, I just thought, gee, if Geelong play the way that they played the week before against Collingwood, slow down the line, well, you could see in the very first passage of play when they got the footy and they looked corridor, that they weren't going to fall into that trap.
Yeah.
So they didn't throw out their game plan completely, but you could tell they weren't going to be as conservative as they were the week before.
And the decision to play blitz halves on a wing early was a thing. You're at the ground. We were doing it for radio. We just sat there going, Chris Scott, love him or hate him, he will not bend. He will not.
No.
He is his own man. It was almost an up yours to those.
There might have been a few eyebrows raised, but the bloke sitting next to me too, he'd gone pretty hard the week before. And look at for periods of the game, you thought, oh, this, because Gaff got hold of him for that. It was that 5 minute, 10 minute period.
Early it worked.
But then Gaff got hold of him over that period where he was able to hit the scoreboard twice, kick two goals. And it wasn't just the two goals. I mean, he started those passages of play as well. And his breaking of the lines while Blitzarves was sort of holding his width, you could have asked the question. And I was really surprised, given we thought, okay, they've played him in the ruck the first week. Now you have to revert to what you know, and you have to play him in defence because of Darling and because of Kennedy. But they backed Collar Jasny in, they backed Henry in, and they got the job done.
Yeah, no, it worked. I thought early on in the piece he was impactful, Blitzarves. He was back and forward, and he was. I'd love to know exactly what the instruction was, but at various stages he'd get into the back half and take Kennedy or take Darling if that what was needed to happen, and it just sort of gave them some flexibility. If Collar Jasny wanted to go, he could go, knowing that he had some backup, and then he pushed forward at the right time.
The thing about doing or making a move like that too is that you hope, as a coaching fraternity, you hope that that works, so that that actually then means that the opposition coaching box has to do something about it. It's not just playing on Gaff, it's the influence that he might have to them start to think, gee, you know, we have to change something here to counteract that.
Well, it was Maston early, and Maston, I was watched it really carefully. He wasn't sure what to do. Mm. He was sort of going, do I go, do I not, do I stay? And he got a little bit of footy, but he was impacting more, I thought, early.
And that hesitation might be the thing that, if you look at the end result in that game, like they got off to a 19-0 start or something like that. There's 20 points in the game at the end of the night. Like it can just be the difference. That start in a final, when you're talking about the best teams, that first 15 minutes of a final can often be the difference between two sides at the end of the night.
Well, and it certainly looks that way now in retrospect, doesn't it? Because they got out of the blocks and their first quarters had been absolutely horrendous over a long period in finals, Geelong as well. So there's a bit to get through here. How much stock do we put in the emotional drain and the shock of what occurred for West Coast in the couple of days before the final?
I don't know the answer to that.
You've played the, we've all played the game. How much of a distraction do you think that would have been? And how much energy can that potentially sap from the playing group?
So I only look at it from a personal. I would say not as much as what people might think from me, but I couldn't talk for how many others are affected by it. Like, I mean, Liam Ryan, maybe, you know, the boys that are really close together and work together really closely, that forward line group, maybe. From actual on-field, it has an impact because he's such a talented player. But in terms of what happens the night before and how much it takes out of you, maybe a lot, maybe. I couldn't put a percentage.
Players are pretty good at compartmentalising those sort of issues and moving on. I'll tell you what, they missed him, though. They missed his footy stuff, particularly early. That first half, the amount of good looks they had going inside 50. Yeah. So I think of Kennedy leading out a couple of times. Waterman, you know, kicks it over his head. And I think it was Ryan at the other end, tries to lace him out, goes over his head. So Willy Rioli's been the best inside 50 kick in the competition this year. Kingy did some really good stuff on that in the pre-game. And so they missed his use. I mean, emotionally, there's a bit of a fallout as well. But the actual physical execution that he brings on game day, they miss that.
They went inside 11 times in that first quarter, the Eagles, and had six possessions inside their forward 50 for 11 entries.
Yeah. We spoke to the ruck whisperer, Steve Torbett, last week, and he said a really interesting thing that I hadn't considered before, and that was about ruckman, how banged up they get from week to week. And he posed the question about Nat Nui coming off, you know, that really long break, plays football, then has to front up again the week later. How did you read the battle between him and Stanley?
I think Stanley got the points.
I thought he did too.
Yep. And that was the question all week, wasn't it? What are they going to do? Are they going to bring him in? Is Blitzar's going to go back? Is he going to play? Well, he didn't do either in the end. He played on the wing. But no, I thought Stanley was good. He competed. West Coast, they didn't get the domination out of the middle that would have been a concern for Geelong. And athletically, Stanley has the athletic gifts to be able to compete, be able to jump. But it was all about, can he actually just mentally compete with him for four quarters? Well, he ticked the box. He absolutely did that. And that meant Shuey and all these West Coast midfielders, they couldn't get as proactive as they would have liked. Yo, it was a huge, huge result for them to be able to nullify that advantage or perceived advantage coming into the contest.
I know Yo went to Dangerfield and kept him, you know, quiet for three quarters, and then Danger exploded. Dangerfield's impact early in this game in taking on Nat Nui post hit out. You have a look at that.
It was first contest on the ground.
And Timmy continued to do it. It was almost he took it personally, as if to say, well, I'll be the one to take on Nat Nui and not let him have that impact. I thought it was really a massive statement from a leader.
It was big late too.
He was huge late,
wasn't he? I mean, that contested marking ability for a big size midfielder, but, you know, he wouldn't be a big size forward, would he? So I think that's just so important. Moving forward to next week, you've got to try and find a way to mark the ball on Richmond. You certainly can't let them mark it, but if he can be doing that in the forward half of the ground, well, all of a sudden it just, particularly if Tom Hawkins isn't playing, I mean, do you toss up?
Is that the move then?
Playing him forward?
Can you afford?
Yeah, I think so.
You start him there?
Well, they did.
And then if you get in trouble, you go and put him back in the midfield because you know what he's capable of doing back there.
Was it last year or the year before they started in there in a final against Sydney? They couldn't get the damn thing to him.
That's right. Yeah. So he went cold early.
I think it'll be the split. I mean, you can't take him from the midfield because he's so dynamic in the middle of the ground.
To play devil's advocate, where did Joel Selwood look best on the weekend?
In the middle.
In the middle. He's played a lot of wing this year. So if Dangerfield's out, you can play him in the middle. I think this is Geelong's, it's not their only chance, but it's their best chance. To play Selwood in the middle, you've got Kelly in there, play Parfitt through there, load up with class in your front half. We know trying to score against Richmond is tough, but if you've got Dangerfield, if you've got Ablett, probably not Hawkins, that's going to be your best opportunity.
So let's deal with Hawkins. How do you deal with it as from a playing group? I mean, you don't. But from a coaching end, try and put us into Hawkins' head. What was he doing, Tom?
There are just moments, though, with Tom. And if you go, like, he's got a rap sheet too. Okay, so there are moments in games where he just loses control of himself. They're split second. I don't think they're decisions that are preempted in any way. They're just decisions that he just arrives at that moment, and they're undisciplined decisions. And now he's going to pay for it. I can't see. There's no way known that he can get off at the tribunal. They can mount any case they like, but the fact is that he's hit somebody off the ball, away from the play. That bloke's gone down. Now, is it worthy of 2 weeks or is it worthy of 1 week?
He's got form this year, so that's a third. I think he's had two fines for striking this year. That's
He's had a $2,000 fine against the Hawks for Sicily, striking, round 5, round 11, striking Jordan Dawson, $3,000 fine.
Yep. So this is third strike you're out.
That doesn't matter.
But
though,
it's in isolation, yes.
Ben Cunnington's had 18 strikes.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. That's why I didn't have... I couldn't be absolutely sure which way it was going to go. I mean, yeah, I think the right decision has been reached by Michael Christian, but based on what we'd seen this year, I didn't have complete confidence that the system would find him guilty after what we were told to start the year that we'd stamp it out. Mm. That aside, could you mount an argument that it wasn't behind the play because he was actually leading?
No, not for me.
Like, so, and I don't might sound like I'm still sort of subscribing too much to the players' code, but as a forward, when you're being warned closely, I think it's a strike in the end, but could he not have been, you know, in the act of trying to push off and create that separation? In the end, he's just sort of nut and he's just followed through with it. And you could argue then that he was trying to create separation, got it wrong, and it was in play.
You could.
And I think it'd be success. Quickly dismissed.
Okay.
No,
I'm trying, Tommy.
I saw it, the corner of my eye stuff, right? Yeah. And then you follow the play and then you go back. And I saw Schofield on the ground still and get up and stumble. And I thought I thought he concussed him. I thought he's out for 3 weeks. Yeah. That's
he wasn't happy, Schofield, after the game either.
Well, probably with good reason.
Yeah. But that's not always the reaction. No, Quite often the reaction is, no worries, mate. You know, I know you wouldn't have meant it. But it wasn't that sort of embrace.
Before we move on from the West Coast Eagles, do you think now that in the post-mortem of their season, they look at whether or not there was a satisfaction regarding last year's flag?
No doubt, for me. Like, to what degree, I don't know.
And it just changes your mind. It might be the 2% or 3% which makes the difference.
But it's enough, isn't it? History tells you, Tim. History tells you when you go to pick your winner for the next year, don't pick the reigning premier. Because it doesn't happen. It's happened 3 times in 30 years. So, well, for whatever reason, whether it's they just get a little bit happy or content, or they don't push as hard, or I don't know.
They're not far off, though, are they?
No, but we also saw McGovern one-on-one, a player prepared to play him one-on-one and mark against him. We saw same with Barras, one-on-one, mark against them. So they got, you know, clubs now will look at that as going forward because they were almost impenetrable through the year. But now you go, oh, hang on a minute, Radaglia marked on him, Hawkins marked. Yeah, I love the way the Geelong forwards got physical with them. Like, they bodied him hard early, and I really like that.
Yeah, Barras has had a bad month.
Yeah,
McGovern's had a bad 3 weeks by his standards. So we know that the reason it's so hard to do it is because teams they've had a good look at you over summer. Because every team that's sort of half struggling and looking for an identity, well, the first thing you do is, well, how do the premiers play? And you pick apart their game plan more than you do others. And, you know, you could argue that why doesn't everyone try to copy Richmond's game plan? Well, Richmond didn't win it last year, and I mean, that's just human nature. Mm. But, you know, you start the preseason later, there is that element of satisfaction. We heard from Tom Barras during the year that for a while there you become a bit directionless, and you think, well, you know, we've done that once. It probably wasn't everything that we thought it was going to be, and we haven't got this lifelong sense of fulfillment that we thought it was going to be, and it's hard to get going again.
We've got to take a break. Just I'll pose this question as we go to the break in terms of, you know, the ability to win back-to-back flags and what happens to your mental state. This Richmond team coming into this year's preliminary final, hungrier and more focused and more centred than the Richmond team going into last year's preliminary final? That's the question I'll ask. You can answer it after the break, and we'll have a look at the Giants and the Lions. The conversation started with Nick Revolt for Kia's 7-day sale has now been extended.